Hey, I'm Russell Leeds.
And I'm Anna Leeds.
And welcome to the Property Investors Podcast. This week, we're doing a deep dive into Rachel Reeves' budget from last week. We did do a quick episode, literally minutes after watching it last week, where we went through some of the key points, but we've had time to reflect on it. We've had time to look at other people's points of views. So we're going to go through basically how it affects landlords, property investors, how it affects entrepreneurs, and what we think of the budget overall. The first thing that I want to talk about that came out is Rachel Reeves has been lying to us.
Labour has been lying to us.
She has.
Wow. Breaking news, everyone.
So for a couple of things, the first thing is she announced very clearly during the budget, that she was cutting debt. It's part of one of the reasons for raising the taxes. She's cutting debt, debt. And you know, she says it very believable. You know,
oh, yeah, because she brags about how the Conservatives just made the debt worse.
Yeah.
And her big approach is, I'm cutting debt. They were just spiraling us off into more debt, but I am cutting the debt.
Yeah, and when we watched it last time, I just took her at face value, but I don't know why I believed her, but I believed her. However,
she's a good talker.
When you actually look at the numbers after the budget and you go through all the figures properly, and this was actually brought up by the Telegraph, so well done to them for spotting this.
It's absolutely bollocks.
It's just nonsense. So the real numbers show she's actually adding an extra £628 billion in new borrowing. Hidden deep down in the red book is another £675 billion that she forgot to mention during a speech, and that's refinancing the debt we already have. So put together, that's £1.3 trillion of borrowing during this parliament.
Wow.
So the fact that she can go up there and say that she's cutting the debt. The other thing that she did, which was dishonest, in the build-up, we talked quite a lot about some of the things that were being threatened.
Yeah.
And she was talking about a £20 billion black hole, which is why they needed to raise taxes. And she was setting everyone up for raising income tax and all this sort of stuff. In the lead up to it. But it's now come to light that she knew that there wasn't a £20 billion debt before she gave a £20 billion black hole, before she gave that speech. It was actually about £2 million. But actually, they'd actually raised other money. So she actually had about £4 billion extra to play with. Now, the real reason that they've raised taxes isn't because there was a black hole or anything. It's because they wanted to increase benefits, increase welfare, which they've done by about £7 billion. But pretending it was some black hole and the economy was in a mess, again, it's just lies.
Yeah, so, and that's the worst, isn't it, where you feel like you're just getting lied to. You just want to know the truth, don't you? And then you can base what you do, how you act on the truth. When it just all comes out, she gave a good speech and it sounded all very believable and, oh, yeah, she's trying to help the country. And like I said on last week's podcast, I was like, oh, I actually quite liked her opening speech. I was like, yes, if she does that, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
But when it comes out that actually she just talks absolute nonsense. And don't get me wrong, it's not like I've got a personal hatred for her. I think most of them talk absolute bollocks. That's kind of their job, isn't it? Just to go up, give a speech that sounds great, but actually, until you actually properly take a look, you don't really know what's going on, which is a good point, though, because I do think, like, we did a podcast last week and it was very off the cuff after we'd just watched it, but we've had to really sit down and go through it because there's even things in there that she didn't even mention.
Yeah. Which we'll go through in a minute.
Yeah.
There's even stuff like big announcements.
Things that she just didn't actually put in the speech.
Yeah.
And so you can't just take everything at like, oh, I saw it on the news. Oh, I know exactly what's happening.
Yeah. But I think the context behind this whole budget, the way that we've been misled, the BBC have come out and said that they were misled. I even think she's misled members of the Labour Party. And they were saying, you know, and she's... It's just...
The whole thing.
Whether you want to call it, I think it's lying. At best case, it's misleading.
Yeah.
At best case.
Well, that's what she'll probably try and claim.
I don't know what she'll claim. I don't think
she'll claim anything. She never has to.
I saw a little video of her their manifesto when they got in, and they're saying, we will not raise taxes. We will not do... Someone will be very clear on, we're not going to do this. And then the last budget, she was like, this will be the only time. And then she comes back and does it again. So
I do think they're making themselves a bit of a joke. Like, loads of people I know that have supported Labour for years, even they're saying they don't support Labour anymore. Yeah. Like, they are making a bit of a mockery. Labour.
10%, they did a poll, only 10% of people trust Labour with the our economy.
Yeah.
And that is less than trust the Green Party and Jeremy Corbyn's party. So they're more, they think we're going to trust the economy more than those.
I don't think we've ever been quite as let down in England as the Labour Party has done.
There's even less trust in Rachel Reeves right now than there was for Liz Truss.
Yeah.
And that's saying something.
Yeah.
So let's go through some of the key points and how it affects you. So the first thing I wanted to talk about, bring the laptop a little bit closer, and this wasn't mentioned in the speech, as you mentioned.
Yeah, so this is quite big, considering it wasn't mentioned in the speech, because this will affect...
all business owners.
Yeah, and again, I don't like these ones. She said she was not going to penalise entrepreneurs, young small business owners... But on this is exactly what she's done.
Yeah, because she actually made a big deal
about she wants people to come to the country, set up businesses there to help the economy. But then left this bit out.
Yeah.
Because this is the total opposite of what she said. It's penalising small businesses and entrepreneurs.
So she's increased dividend tax. The basic rate of dividend tax, which right now is 8.75%, from April next year is going up to 10.75%.
And then for the higher rates, it was 33.75% and it's going up to 35.75%.
And for additional rate, it's staying the same, 39.35%. So no change at all. Vanessa Warwick from Property Tribes called this, the dividend tax hike is a stab in the back for small businesses.
Which is such a shame. She's totally right. And yeah, after her great speech of saying how she really wanted to promote entrepreneurs, I'm very, very, very disappointed that this came out afterwards, that this was in the budget and she just never mentioned it.
Now, as an entrepreneur, it's still far more beneficial to take a small salary and take the rest as dividends. Unless you're hitting the additional rate, in which case you might as well not. But up until that rate, it makes sense. Because don't forget, you might look at it and go, 10.75%, oh, that's not very much. That's still much lower than, you know, employees. Income tax, for example. But don't forget, you're paying corporation tax on top of that.
Yeah,
so
it's not just,
twice. So it makes the standard take minimal salary, rest of dividends, a bit less tax efficient. Yeah. There are still plenty of things that you can do. It's 2%. It's not the end of the world. But you're right. Small businesses, working people, again, another promise. They promised they wouldn't raise tax on working people.
This is classic, not taxing the rich, but taxing the working man.
Yeah. Right, so the second one we want to talk about, there's a few points to go through. So number one, dividend tax, raising by 2 percentage points. Next, the fiscal drag. So this is the real mega tax rise.
That doesn't sound like it is. When she said it, you don't think anything and you just think, okay, cool.
It's the stealth tax.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the stealth tax. So it's like hidden. They use this trick all the time. They've been using it for years. Rob Moore said that this was the largest tax raid in modern history.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys agree with that. Is this, or I'll tell you what it is and you can decide, is it the biggest tax raid in modern history? Let us know in the comments, but this is what it is. So they've basically just frozen, there's no extra tax, they've just frozen the thresholds.
Yeah.
So it's all staying the same. It's going to stay the same until 2030 or 31, I think it is.
Which I think when they say tax and staying the same, everyone's like, yay! Like she said, it was a real positive thing, and everyone's like, I will not be raising, and everyone's like, woohoo!
But we are freezing the threshold. Oh, yeah. By the way, that is raising. If you don't know the answer, just think, how much will that raise taxes by 2030? How much do you reckon? Get a figure in your head. I'll tell you what it is right now. It's about £40 billion. That's going to raise £40 billion, which shows, I mean, that is huge.
That is huge, yeah.
Absolutely huge. And it's going to hit employees the hardest.
Yep, of course.
Now, again, she didn't announce it as a tax rise, but it is the largest by far. So how would this actually affect a standard employee? So I ran a case study right here.
Okay.
Because to put it into perspective, the rates that they're going to be frozen till 2031 are the same as what they were in 2021.
Wow.
So that's 10 years, that's a decade of keeping the thresholds the same, which is a long time.
That is a long time.
It's a long time. So let's say you were in 2021, you had a salary of 36 grand.
Yep.
Now, if you didn't get a pay rise, because of inflation and the cost of stuff going up, you'd be losing money.
Yeah, you actually start, your wages almost going down.
Yeah. But if you look at the data from the ONS, most employees get a pay rise of about 4 to 5% per year in order to keep up with inflation, right?
Yeah.
Let's assume that you'd pay even more tax if you did this. To be really fair, really transparent, let's assume it's 3.5%, okay, which is the same as inflation.
Yep.
Right, roughly. So your annual pay rise is just keeping up with inflation. So what would that actually look like? Well, over that 10 years from 2021 to 2030, your salary would have grown by 36 grand to 50,800 by 2031.
Yep.
But you're not any richer in real terms. That's just
to stay
level.
Yep.
With inflation, okay? Because yep. prices have risen in that time as well. Now, in 2021, when this first happened, your personal allowance, your tax-free allowance, was £12,570. And your tax, you'd have been taxed at 20%, okay? So what would the difference be? Well, by 2031, your salary is now 50 grand. Your personal allowance is still £12,570. It's actually pushed you up into the higher rate tax. You've actually changed tax brackets.
Yeah, just because, yeah. So you're paying more tax just because your wage went up with normal inflation.
Yeah, you've now crept into the higher tax
bracket.
Even though
you haven't really had any kind of pay rise there.
So in 2021, your tax was 4,686. In 2031, your tax is now 7,750.
Wow, yeah.
So that is over £3,000 more tax per year. And that's just off one person who's on a standard salary.
Yeah.
If your starting salary had been 40 or 45, it would be an even bigger difference. That's £3,000 per year over 10 years.
Yeah.
And you can see how when you spread that over all the employees, it gets to £40 billion.
Yeah.
So I think that this...
That's a big one, isn't it, that?
Is a massive one.
But it was kind of very just brushed over in the speech. It sounded like, oh, right, yeah, cool, she's keeping it the same.
And they've been using this for years. Did you know when income tax first came in, it only affected the wealthiest 1%?
Wow.
It was effectively a wealth tax, income tax. And then over time, this has come in and made it worse and worse and worse.
So what's going to happen there? Do you know that everyone's celebrating the mansion tax? All that will happen is... Because like you say, they'll go, oh, we're just keeping it at 2 million, but give it 20 years and everyone in London will be living in a £2 million house. And then they'll go, oh, now it's only fair, everyone pays it. And before we know it, we'll all just be paying extra taxes on our homes.
Exactly. It also sets you up to reduce it. Because once it's in, it's a thing. It's like, oh, well, actually, £1 million houses, that's still pretty
lavish. They need to contribute.
Yeah. So the fiscal drag, dragged everyone in, stealth tax. This is huge. 40 billion quid. And bear in mind as well, what is this actual money for? Well, it's to pay extra welfare. So it's taking money from the workers, from the working people.
Who want to work.
Who weren't going to be taxed, apparently.
Yeah.
To give it to people that are on benefits. So it's an absolute joke, in my opinion.
Yeah, oh, I totally agree.
All right, number three. Landlord income tax increase. So... Income tax rates obviously are staying the same, which is good, unless you're a landlord.
Yep.
If you're a landlord, it goes up 2 percentage points. So it's a direct raise for landlords. Her argument for this...
Oh, yes, we said this last week, didn't we? That she said the landlord that's making £35,000 will actually make more... because he'll be taxed less than the person who lives in the house who's on a 35 grand salary. He'll get taxed more and that's unfair. But that doesn't make any kind of sense.
No, we'll address that with the next point. Yeah, Ben Beadle called this anti-renter because it's going to reduce stock because landlords are going to probably sell up.
Yeah.
Or if they're making less money, they're going to put their prices up.
Yeah.
Universally. What,
the thing is, it's one of these, isn't it? That when the landlords are hit, it sounds good So for the Labour Party, we're hitting the landlords again. People trying to make money off you. Woohoo. And all, you know, the working people go, yay. But it's the same old thing, though. But what do you think the landlords are actually going to do? Go, oh, no, now we're going to keep all the properties and it's actually going to cost us to keep the properties. Of course they're not, because they're not a charity mission. Like, so they sell up. Either they sell up, so we're going to have a shortage, and we've already got a shortage, so let's just add to the problem. Or, like you say, they're going to just put the rents up so they don't take the hit.
Mm.
And then now you've got limited houses, because also if you have a limited supply, then obviously rents go up.
Supply and demand.
Supply and demand. Or when you put the taxes up, the landlords aren't going to be like, oh, well, we're going to make nothing off it then. They're going to raise the rent. So either which way, the rents are going to get raised. But it sounds good in principle again, but it's ridiculous, because all that's going to happen is the working man is going to have to now pay more for the rents.
I totally agree. And like I said, Ben Beadle from the NRLA says it's anti-renter. Do you guys agree? Is this law anti-landlords? Is it anti-renter? Or is it anti-both? Well, let's get on to your next point. So you mentioned that she said in the speech, another lie, by the way, because she knows about this. She said in the speech that the landlord earning 25 grand a year would pay less tax than the tenant living there, who was also earning 25 grand a year.
And again, when she said it, it sounded like, oh, right, oh, yeah, I suppose it does make it fair.
Yeah.
But it actually, when you actually look into it, it doesn't make any sense at all.
It doesn't, because of this one, section number four. Section 24 has been left in place. This is big pressure on her from landlord groups to scrap Section 24. It really is not fair, because it penalises small landlords, not big corporations.
Of course not. We wouldn't want to penalise those.
No, but small landlords who own properties in their own name. They didn't. They kept it in. So not only are landlords getting taxed more, going up 2%, so if they're a 40% taxpayer on their property income, that'll go up to 42%, 20% will go up to 22%, so on and so forth.
Yep.
So Section 24 has been left in place. So I want to give you a case study for Section 24, just to show you exactly how it works and how unfair it actually is. One thing that I found really interesting is that 78% of viewers of this channel aren't actually subscribers. So if you want to make sure that you don't miss any new episodes or any new property news, please do like and subscribe. It also really helps our channel grow. Really appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Back to the show. Let's keep it really, really simple. Let's assume you're getting a monthly rent of £2,000 per month.
Yep.
And your mortgage interest payments are £1,500 a month. And we'll just assume, for the argument of this, there's no other cost.
So you're making
£500 a month profit.
Yep.
And a landlord is a high rate taxpayer of 40%.
Okay.
Keep it nice and simple. So property is held in their personal name, but this was before Section 24 came in, so let's assume that doesn't apply. So here's the truth. They're making £6,000 profit a year.
Yep.
So their taxable profit is £6,000 a year. They're taxed at 40%, so they're taxed 2,400 quid, which means net cash in their pocket profit take home is 3,600.
Yeah.
So 3,600 take home, 2,400 goes to the tax man. That's what it used to be.
Yeah.
Section 24 came in. We'll go through the same figures. However, the taxable profit is now the full 24 grand. You cannot claim the mortgage interest payments as a tax deductible expense.
Which is crazy.
So you're taxed at 40% of 24 grand, which is 9,600. Now you do get a Section 24 tax credit, which in this case would work out at £3,600. So their final tax bill in this situation would be £6,000.
Yeah.
So,
but they only made
£6,000.
Yeah.
So they made £6,000 and they have to pay £6,000 in tax. So effectively their tax rate is 100%.
Yeah.
That's the current system. Now Rachel came out and said, oh, that's not fair. They're not paying enough tax. Amazingly. So now she's adding a 2% rise, which would mean their tax bill went up to £6,480.
So they're actually minus.
So their tax rate is now 108% of the real profit. Now, Rachel Roo said it wasn't fair. A tenant on 25 grand pays more tax than a landlord on 25 grand. But in this real world example, the landlord's paying 108% tax on actual profit. And the tenant doesn't pay that.
No.
They'd be paying 20% tax on half of the 20. It just makes no sense.
No.
So Section 24, fortunately, it's here to stay. Obviously, you can buy property through a company and you avoid that tax.
Yeah.
All right, next, number five.
Tourist tax.
So it's expected to be about, what, £1-2 per night?
Yeah. I actually like this one. And I especially like it because obviously we were discussing, will this affect SAs, serviced accommodation? And it doesn't.
No, it's just hotels.
So I think this is great news and a great way to raise...
I mean, we do own a hotel. We own two hotels.
But I don't think... Yeah, we do.
But I don't think it will affect it.
No, I think it would have been worse for SAs. And I do think this is a good way to get...
extra money in.
Yeah, for the country.
Into the country.
It's taxing tourists.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great idea rather than keep going on about taxing.
And
rich.
Could you argue here that Labour have unintentionally made Airbnbs more attractive by pushing up the price of hotels,
yeah,
but not affecting Airbnbs? Does that make Airbnbs a little bit more competitive?
Yeah. No, I like this is one of the best rules that, yeah, I think.
If you do Airbnb, it's like all my competitors for overseas bookings have just had a tax rise and I haven't.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm liking this. I think this is, yeah, very positive actually for people who run serviced accommodation. I think I'd be happy with that rule. I think it's good for the economy. I just think that's really good.
I agree. I'm not against it either. All right. Next, number six, pensions and the salary sacrifice cap.
Yeah.
So what she introduced now was a £2,000 limit for salary sacrifice for just employees, by the way, and it doesn't affect business owners. We'll talk about that later.
Yes,
yeah. So this is like, again, it's hitting working people, yeah, which is crazy. So what is salary sacrifice? So basically, it's where you agree to give up part of your... So let's say you're on £60,000 a year and you're like, let me put £10,000 into my pension and I won't get paid that. Give me 50. So I only pay tax like a 50% taxpayer and put the other 10 into my pension. So your gross pay goes down. Your employer pays that sacrifice bit straight into your pension. You save money on income tax. You save money on national insurance.
Would you do that if you were employed?
If I had a good... I would have had a good job.
Would you?
Especially if you got a pay rise. Because generally you get a pay rise and then you tend to... you get a pay rise and you tend to sort of just waste the money. It just sort of disappears. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Pension schemes.
To be honest, I'd do it. I would probably rather invest it in property instead.
Yeah. I think they're a bit... So what about back in the day? I mean, she said she was funding it, actually, Rachel Reeves, one of the pension schemes that collapsed.
Yeah. Also, employers save their employer national insurance as well, and quite often they will pay that into the pension pot for you, so you get paid extra as well. So it is quite good. Anyway, from April 2029, now only the first £2,000 a year of that salary that you sacrifice will be exempt from employee national insurance. Anything you sacrifice above that, you still get the income tax relief, but you'll still pay national insurance on it as if you took it as salary.
That's a joke, isn't it, that?
Yeah. So right now you get the full, if you took 10K like we just mentioned, right now you get it full tax exempt from 2029. You won't. You just get the first £2,000. The rest will be...
There's nothing really to say about that other than that sucks for people.
Well, here's what I want to say, right?
I'm kind of like...
If you're not an employee, if you're a business owner and you own the company, what you can do, right? How much better is this? You can get, for example, a SAS pension. And you can pay up to £60,000. Employee gets two. You get £60,000 that you can take out of your company, pay no corporation tax on it, no income tax on it, nothing at all, put it in your SAS pension, and then you can invest it in property.
Yeah.
Tax-free. So how come working people are getting hit with tax cuts? Like, I don't understand the logic in this one.
No, because this just clearly is taxing working people.
Yeah, if you're an employee, Rachel's basically put $2,000 cap.
Yeah.
On how much it
basically
is
just totally taxing you.
It's like she doesn't want people to save money.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. Anyway, it's one of the changes. So yeah, we're telling you about it. Number seven.
Corporation tax.
No change. That was quite a big relief.
Yeah.
Because it went obviously up for us from 19 to 25%. There's no small business ban change as well. Because small businesses only pay 19% still. That stays the same. Or that's good.
That is.
It would have been better if it got cut, but it's not bad news.
It could have been worse.
Capital gains tax. Big rumours there was going to be an uplift for this, particularly for property capital gains. There hasn't been. There's been no change to the business asset disposal relief, which is good. So yeah, capital gains tax all stay the same. It went up last year, so for it's not that amazing, but
no, but it could have been worse.
It could have gone up again. Yep. Another big change that was heavily talked about was the VAT threshold.
Yeah, that I was really upset about.
You were really passionate about that.
Yeah, I was, because I just feel like that clearly was attacking small businesses.
Yeah.
So I'm glad she didn't bring that in. I'm glad they were frozen at where they are, because I think that would have been really, really unfair.
And there was talks about going as low as $30,000 a year.
Yeah, which is, it would cripple small businesses. We've been there, that it was a big enough deal. Anyway, to do that would just put people off running small businesses.
Yeah. I agree.
So I was really happy about that one.
I totally agree. Number 11, national insurance. No major change, national insurance. Sorry, is it number 10? Number 10, national insurance. No major change. But there is the stealth increase because, again, it's been frozen. So, again, the rates, as you earn more, it's the same as the income tax.
Yeah.
So.
Sounds good. Staying the same. But
yeah. And they'll say, we didn't raise income tax. We didn't raise national insurance rates. And that is technically true. But by freezing the thresholds, every pay rise drags you deeper into the tax net.
Yeah.
So that's why the fiscal drag is expected to raise tens of billions of pounds over the next few years. And again, there's no headline. There's no big, oh, look, taxes are raised. But they are sneakily being raised.
That's
by
what
this
they're going for, isn't it?
Labour government, 100%.
Number 11, final point. The potential mansion tax.
Which came to fruition.
Yes.
But nowhere near as bad as we thought.
And when does it start?
I think it's next year.
No, I don't think so. I think they said the year after.
Is it the year after? Well, you talk about it while I look it up.
I think it's the year after.
So what type of properties get hit?
So anything over $2 million.
Yeah.
And then it jumps again at $5 million, you get taxed more. So 2 to 5 mil properties get taxed. How much was it?
It's sliding scale. It's 2028, so it's a little while away now.
Yeah, that's what
away.
I mean. Like 3 years away. I mean,
do you know what? Do you know why? Why I didn't know? Even though it affects us, this is actually a tax that actually affects us. The reason it's $2,500. Honestly, it's nothing.
It's nothing, and we're getting taxed in 3 years' time. Like. Yeah. I can't even be thinking about...
It's just like, oh, your council tax is going up slightly, literally.
Why has she put it in so far in advance? I mean, brilliant, because I'm happy to have a new handbag instead of pay that, to be fair.
Although...
$2,500.
Did you know that council homes...
That was a joke, by the way.
...that are over $2 million aren't affected?
Really?
Yeah. So if you own a council home that's worth over $2 million, you don't get affected. Do you like council housing?
I can't imagine there's many, maybe in London. Oh, there you go. There's the $2 million house on the corner.
Yeah, it's mostly in London, southeast of England. I can't imagine it.
Of course they're not. Like, but I just think to bring this in, like you say, it's $2,500. And then what does it go up to if you're over five?
It's like, is it $7,500 it goes up to if it's over $10 million or something?
So people who own those kind of homes, it's next to nothing. They're bringing it in 3 years' time, so who gives a crap? And I think then what will actually happen in reality, they'll bring it in. The people that paid at first won't give a crap. But then what will happen is as house prices rise, and actually, because eventually it's going to be like nearly everyone owns a house over £1 million.
Yeah, same as the fiscal drag stuff. Yeah.
So, and then what's going to happen is the working men, they'll bring it down, go, actually, anyone over a million should pay. And before you know it, the working men are paying.
Just council taxes raised for houses that...
Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. So I think for anyone that owns a house like this, they literally won't give a rip.
I think that
at the moment...
Well, people do, though. I've seen loads of news stories about people moaning about it online. I'm thinking, really? Anyone that owns a property over 2 million... See, they were talking about percentages at one point.
Yeah, now that would concern me. Because then they'd just keep upping it, wouldn't they?
I genuinely thought it might cost like 50, 60 grand a year. Yeah. In the build-up, and I was thinking, oh my gosh, like that would be painful.
And the minute it goes to percentages, they're there to swindle it around, aren't they? I think they're less likely to keep changing it.
Oh, do you know what I think this is? I think this is for headlines.
Yeah, it makes it. We're doing something.
The wealth
we're taxing,
tax.
Yeah. Because they've even like, yeah.
How much is this actually going to raise? Here's what I think of the whole budget overall. So I think that she lied.
Yeah.
I think she tried to make out that we're in a black hole and having all sorts of problems, and we're not.
Yeah.
She's actually raising money to give to people who are on benefits.
Yeah.
And that's what they need 7 billion to pay for extra in benefits. I think that's mainly what this is for.
Yeah.
I think if you're a rich and you're an entrepreneur, there's not a lot to worry about.
No.
She's actually hitting employees.
Yeah.
Although the taxes aren't great in England anyway.
Yeah. I mean, yes. Even though, you know, she hasn't raised some of the taxes are high.
She's probably a bit scared of more people moving to beautiful places like Dubai.
Yeah. Because, it is getting more and more appealing, isn't it? And more businessmen are leaving.
Yeah. And I think, and that's why she's hit working people, because she knows they won't.
Yep. And she wants to appeal to them. So she says she's not going to tax them. But she knows that... people are flocking, business people and actually entrepreneurs that are making money are flocking from the UK.
Yeah. And what they should be doing instead, I think they've done a terrible, terrible job, to be honest. I think what they should be doing instead is lowering taxes.
Yeah.
Encouraging business, encouraging growth.
Yeah.
And cutting benefits and cutting wastage and cutting spending in order to bring the ongoing costs down. But at the same time, get the economy growing. Yeah. That's the strategy. And I think
she did say, and I haven't actually looked into it, but she did say she was going to look in to making sure people weren't claiming stuff they shouldn't. Do you know how like loads of people claim benefits they shouldn't? Oh, I'm injured, I can't walk. But then really they can. She did say they were going to raise millions of pounds by cutting benefits that are going to people that falsely... Yeah.
We'll tell you where I think they are going to raise loads of extra tax. That, but even more so than that, by getting people to actually, like, making tax digital. And this is why I think they're actually bringing in the digital ID and all this tracking.
Yeah.
You can go to the banks so direct.
Yeah.
I think they're going to really clamp down on people paying the correct amounts of tax. I mean, yeah. It's probably too easy. It's probably, you know all the builders that are cash in hands, and they're trying to get rid of cash.
Yeah.
So they're making it very, very difficult to avoid paying tax. So I think that's where they'll probably raise the most money in the next few years.
And they said stuff about people who aren't paying their loans back that the government handed out. And
I think a lot of landlords will be very scared right now, because I reckon a lot of landlords that own one or two houses.
Yeah, you know, and have done stuff on the...
They haven't put it through. They've now got, this is different from the budget, but they've now got to join a register.
Yeah.
And they've got to register the properties. And they're probably thinking, oh my gosh, like, and like, they get fined thousands and thousands of pounds if they don't.
Yeah.
How am I going to hide this now? I'm going to have to put it all through.
I think if you're a landlord that have done stuff on the sly.
You'll be scared.
Yeah. It's not great news.
No.
But.
So I hope that's not you. But guys, I hope you enjoyed the show.
No.
Love to know your thoughts on the budget. Let us know in the comments below. Is there anything we missed? This was a deep dive. We spent quite a lot of time researching it. I think this is everything that affects landlords. But if there's more, pop it in the chat below. Thank you so much for watching the channel. Please don't forget to like and subscribe. I'm Russell Leeds.
And I'm Anna Leeds.
We'll see you next week.